start with you, Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
You are having a dream. You are standing on a beach. It is a rocky beach. You're right next to where that cave was. But this time, instead of dreaming of the archdemon trying to eat you, you are dreaming of swords. You have a sword in your dream, Cassandra, and that's literally all you care about now. You're gay. You want a sword. You've been dreaming of this sword. You want this sword so fucking bad. It's cool as hell. What does your dream sword look like?
Holy shit. Okay. I am so glad you asked. Right. So, I mean, the last time I had a dream, like, Inquisitor Velen just comes in like a fucking badass and, like, swinging this glowing sword. And she's like, okay, I fucking want a cool sword like that. So, like, so I'm thinking, like, fantasy lightsaber. Like, she wants it, like, it's glowing with, because magic, duh.
But, like, what kind of, like Lennon's looks like an epee. So, like, what does your sword look like?
For, yeah, like, Kunari swords are made for the stabbity. So, like, she's like, okay, that's fine for an elf sword for it to be, like, an epee. But mine's gonna be, like, a fucking broad, like, two-handed broadsword.
Oh,
and that's the only concept she has. She's like, I only know of Kunari warriors, and they don't fuck around with swords.
Yeah, Lannan is somewhat limited because he has one fucking hand, so he has to, he needs a one-handed sword. But you,
he only
on
has
hands,
so many hands.
Your gay imagination just runs wild.
Right, and she's,
you
like,
have
woo!
A fucking cool ass broadsword, a two-handed broadsword with a really cool pommel and an awesome hilt, and it looks great. What color is the light?
Sky blue, sort of, like bluish white.
Mm. Kind of like Lyrian blue.
There we go.
Interesting. Lannan's was a similar color, as I recall. His was more white than blue, though. So you have this awesome two-handed broadsword with a glowing blue blade. And you are doing some kind of, like, I imagine, like, when you were young, you saw the Antom practicing outside all the time when you went out to play. And they had these really precise drills that they went through. And you, in your head, are on this rocky beach doing those sword drills in, like, this perfect time, in time with the crashing waves.
Oh, it's so good.
Perfect synchronicity. And it is extremely cool. And you turn on one heel, and standing far away on the beach is a massive 15-foot wolf.
Oh, shit. That definitely makes me stop doing the drills. Like, I tighten my grip on the sword, but, like, also don't move. Just like, maybe if I stand still, it can't see me.
Faster than you could even perceive, this wolf lopes across the distance and comes racing at you. It is unbelievably fast for something so enormous. And when it finally reaches you and it tackles you to the ground, the distance that you fly, like, you should only fly a couple feet back and then hit the ground on your back, but instead of just falling, you go rocketing backwards, and you are going so fast that you can't even keep up. The scenery blurs behind you as you fall, and this wolf is pushing you across Thedas, and suddenly you are back in Minrathis, and he has you pinned to the ground, his massive jowls snarling over you.
Oh boy, that's terrifying.
It glares down at you, it sniffs around you, and then looks up and around. You are in one of the guest bedrooms. You've never been inside this guest bedroom, but it is the one where Inquisitor Llewellyn is apparently sleeping. You can see him tucked under a mountain of blankets with his hair disheveled, and the wolf lifts its head and looks at him. And suddenly you see Inquisitor Llewellyn, his eyes flash open, he whirls around, he sits up, and the dream abruptly ends, and you wake up panting.
That was bad. Not a great dream. Didn't like it. My first instinct is to, like, you know, obviously I'm panting and scared, but also I need to go find the Inquisitor, like, right now.
All right, so you go bursting into his guest room?
Sure, yes.
Pay me a picture for what that looks like.
Hair unbraided, like, the mohawk is just unbraided wildly, like, flowing around everywhere. Like, Inquisitor.
You burst into the door, and he's already awake. He's sitting up in the exact same position you saw at the very end of your dream. And he's still looking around the room, and he says, I sensed it too. He climbs up out of bed. He is also wearing a fairly simple nightshirt, and he says, it's fine. He's not here, not physically.
But
He saw us. He saw you.
He's been hunting for me for a long time. I'm not without my tricks. He won't be able to find me that easily.
Right. Of course. Forgive me for interrupting your whatever is left of her sleep.
He shakes his head. He says, you didn't interrupt anything. He stands up and he walks over to you and he says, do me a favor, one mage to another.
All right.
Don't tell Dorian about this.
And if he asks?
Direct him to me. I'll lie for you if I have to.
Understood.
If he finds out about this, it's going to make both of our lives very, very annoying. Elian.
Yep.
You've got less than an hour before you and Cassandra and Sabre and Maveris are going to be heading out. But you have somewhere that you want to be.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
So paint me a picture. What's it look like?
Well, so I think I've been kind of giving Leander some space for a while, but still doing that kind of hovery thing where, like, if he doesn't show up for a meal, I make sure that there's food outside his door, that kind of thing. But I don't think we've had a chance to really talk since what happened the other night.
No, he's been shut up in his room pretty much nonstop since the incident with Magister Ronan.
Ugh. Just the name. I want to punch him.
His first name is Demetrius, in case you want to hate him more.
I want to punch him even more.
Yeah, Demetrius Ronan. What a fucking tool.
I don't want to just leave without saying anything. So I think Elian just goes over and knocks.
It takes a couple moments before you hear some shuffling behind the door, and a few more moments after that before the door opens. Leander is standing. He looks more disheveled than you've ever seen him. Tranquil by nature are quite fastidious, but he looks like he's been through the ringer for the past couple days. His hair is kind of tangled. His clothes are rumpled. He looks very, very tired, and notably, like, your first focus, of course, is Leander, but then you kind of look past him and you notice all the walls of his bedroom are coated in a thin layer of ice.
Oh, no.
He stares at you for a moment in silence and he says, you should be on your way to Weishaupt.
We will be soon, but I wanted to check in on you.
Leander looks at you. Looks back over his shoulder at the walls covered in ice, and then looks back at you like, well, mystery solved. I'm not doing so good.
You know that we're not going to let anything happen, right? You know that Dorian won't let you be taken. And God, I wish I wasn't leaving.
He doesn't say anything. He doesn't look like he knows what to say.
I'm not a mage. I can't do anything to help you with this, but I'm worried about you.
He says there's no cause to be alarmed.
I've been seeing you in my dreams, and it's been worrisome, and I don't want you to do anything reckless while I'm gone.
What do you imagine that I would do recklessly while you are not here?
You were researching some extraordinarily, I don't know, theoretical...
The reversal rite.
Yeah. You won't attempt that without the Inquisitor here, will you?
I cannot attempt it without at least 5 mages in attendance. You are worried for me.
I am.
You should not be.
Why?
You imagine this as some reckless, desperate bid at something nigh unobtainable. It is not. What I am attempting is not dangerous. It is not reckless. It is necessary. It is a rescue mission.
I can't say I understand. Obviously, I don't, but...
Then let me paint you a picture, he says. He's stepping forward a little bit. He's kind of in your personal space. When I was young, I liked to sing. I imagine you know what that's like.
Obviously...
It was one of my hobbies. I used to sing with my mother sometimes when we worked out in the garden. Now I hear music, and all the emotions that once stirred in me feel like a distant dream. Music means nothing to me anymore. Everything means nothing to me anymore. The world is in grayscale, and music is just noise.
Leander, I can't help, and I want to help. And this sounds like hell. I don't know. There's something a spirit said it would help me, and it was sketchy, and I don't know. It seemed genuine enough, but I don't know anything about this kind of thing. And he's just babbling at this point. Like,
Leander puts a finger over your mouth. You should not care this much about me. It is dangerous.
But
you are aware I am physically incapable of returning the affection, right?
That doesn't matter.
How on earth could that not matter to you? You would be content feeling affection for me that I cannot return? He's very, very close to you. I am not worth. And he takes a couple steps back and he says, you should get on the road to Weishaupt. And he turns and he closes the door.
Leander!
Sabre?
Yup.
You're having your breakfast before departing. Everyone is in sort of that, it's like the morning before you leave for vacation where everyone is, they're eating a little bit, but mostly they're focused on, do we have this thing? Do we remember to pack that? Are we really good for this? And you're sort of in the eye of the storm of chaos of pre-travel plans. You're finishing up your breakfast and you feel a tap on your shoulder.
A turnaround.
It's Fenris. A word.
I grunt, but I get up to follow him.
He takes you out to the sunroom, where it is mostly empty except for Cat. Cat is snoozing in a patch of sunlight on his back, looking adorable. He says, I want you to take Cat with you.
I don't know a lot about dogs.
Don't worry. He's much smarter than you. He can take care of himself.
I glare at him.
He says, Cat is a good companion. He's valuable in battle. He's smart. He can carry out complex commands. Most importantly, he knows Hawk's scent. He'll be able to take you to him since you aren't taking me. And he folds his arms over his chest like he's waiting for you to offer some sort of explanation.
I fold my arms over my chest and I stare at him.
The standoff lasts for a while, but eventually Fenris says, fine. Then allow me to say this. He gets up in your space and he says, if you kill Hawk, there will be no force on Thetis strong enough to keep me from tearing you apart.
I have no desire to kill Hawk. If he gives me the information I need, no harm will come to him.
And if he knows nothing, I don't find it difficult to imagine that he just fell out of contact with Meryl. Like I said, they weren't great friends.
If he knows nothing, then he knows nothing. I will find out what information I can. I'm not an unreasonable man, Fenris.
Could have fooled me. He's about to leave the room, but he stops, and he turns around and he says, by the way, I'm not the only one that would tear you apart if you laid a hand on Levon Hawk. And he gestures at Cat, and Cat barks.
I think I actually take, like, a step back.
Mabari are very loyal animals. And then he leaves.
I just, like, look at that cat, and I'm just like, God damn it. I say, well, come on then.
Cat barks, stands up, and follows you out. The road to Weishaupt it's about half on the Imperial Highway, which is a very large, well-maintained road that heads south along the Noshan Sea. The first couple legs of the trip are very comfortable because, you know, the Imperial Highway is still relatively well guarded, relatively safe to travel. But you do eventually have to turn off onto smaller roads. And you are heading uphill and you feel it more than see it because it's just gradual enough that it's hard to detect with the naked eye, but you feel it burning in your calves, you know? The Anderfels is quite high, and you feel it first before you notice it. A couple things that you notice about the way to the Anderfels is that vegetation becomes more sparse. It becomes quite rocky and difficult terrain. The roads fall into some measure of disrepair rather quickly. Everything around you becomes rather rocky and barren. So you are setting up camp for the night. It is starting to get pretty cool because you're getting higher. And everyone is mostly asleep. And you have the last watch, and Inquisitor Llewellyn has the second to last watch. So you're going to have to change over
with him.
Because this is how I operate.
You gotta talk to him.
You have to talk
right.
to him.
We're on the road. You have to.
And you're wondering, probably, I imagine, why the Anderfels is so shitty. Like, yes. It's really, really shitty. It's barren. It's rocky. It's cold as fuck. It sucks here. What the hell happened to it? And you are waking up to do your last watch, and you hear singing, very quiet singing. Like, you may not even have noticed it, except for you recognize the melody. It is a very old Dalish Rite for the Departed. It would typically be sung by the Haren of the clan whenever a clan member died. And you realize it's Lannan singing it, and that makes sense because in the absence of the Haren, the keeper or the first would perform the funeral rites. So if he was the first of his clan, he would be trained up on all the old songs, including the funerary rites.
Oh, man. I think, like, he's going to try to, he wants to listen to more of it. I think he's starved for, like, Dalish culture and all that. Like, it's all just, like, fond memories that feel like a long time ago. But he's also still, like, things are uncomfortable with Lannan, so he's gonna try to, like, sneak up to listen to it without, like, letting Lannan see that he's doing it.
Yeah, he's not singing it in any formal capacity. Like, he's obviously just, like, he's cooking something and he's just singing it under his breath. It's just a song that occurs to him to sing while he's doing other stuff. He obviously doesn't want to disturb anyone because most of the people in the camp are sleeping.
Oh, man. I think I, like, go and sit, like, right outside the fire next to him.
He sees you, and there's that hilarious comical moment of, Harana! Hey, what's up?
It's been a long time since I heard that song.
He says, oh, yeah, it's been a long time since I've heard it, too.
It's kind of an odd choice.
I guess it's the one that I think of the most when I am alone.
I'm like desperately like looking around awkwardly. I think it's like a good like
it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think I like seize finally on the fact that like it's like so. Do you know anything? Why are there no trees? Why is this place so bad?
Oh well, that's the this place was the primary hotspot of the first blight. The first blight happened thousands of years ago, Sabray, and it almost destroyed civilization. It was so bad. Because obviously it was the first one anyone had experienced. No one knew what to do. The Grey Wardens were in their infancy because the Grey Wardens started because of the first blight. And so it took several hundred years of trial and error before they figured out how to end it successfully. And in those several hundred years, it was awful. And he says, this is what happens when Darkspawn are left unchecked for a couple hundred years. He says, gesturing to the arid ground, he says, they poison the land. They make it difficult to farm. They desiccate it.
I think I look around in the darkness and I sort of shudder and I'm like, it makes it a little more real what we're doing.
He says, the Anderfels know better than most places what happens when a blight is left to get out of control.
I stare awkwardly at him.
He goes back to humming because he doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I call Cat over and I like pet Cat. I think I sort of like sit there in silence and I finally turn to him. I need to ask you a weird question.
I feel like it can't get much weirder between us, but go ahead.
I don't know if you know, but we're going to visit my brother's grave.
He says, your brother?
Ren Sabray.
It finally, like, no one had directly told him, but when you finally say Ren Sabray, like, there's obviously, like, a click in his head. He's like, oh, shit. You were... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot nowadays.
Sorry, I... Damn.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, until, like, a week ago, I thought he was had been dead for the last 15 years.
Well, I mean, he has been dead for the last... This is not... yeah, so, sorry, what was your question? Wow, you guys are great at this.
I know he would have wanted a Dalish funeral. And he sort of gestures himself. I'm not equipped to do that. And you're the only other Dalish... This is really awkward, okay? I'm just gonna say it.
He flinches a little. He's like, no, I get it. I get what you're requesting. I can... I mean, yeah, sure, that's fine. I can... Of course. It's the least he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the least we can do. I sort of stand up and brush myself off. Well, I think it's my time to take over the watch, don't you?
Yeah, he looks more than ready to get the fuck out. Like, yep. Wow, this has been so awkward.
Yep.
He wants to crawl into a hole and die.
Wow. Same. I sort of, like, nod at him, and I'm like, great! And I'm like, Cat, come! And I walk off into the darkness.
Cat barks. And follows. So the rest of the road to Weishaupt is more of the same. You keep going uphill, and it keeps getting colder, and it keeps getting more arid. The climate in the Anderfels is such that there's like the lack of vegetation, the severe lack of natural like water sources makes it so that all the seasons are very extreme. Summers are brutally hot. Winters are brutally cold. There's no in between. And it is winter, technically, and that was easy to ignore when you were in, you know, sunny Minrathis, but now it's getting more difficult to ignore. There's no snow because there's no precipitation because it almost never rains in the Anderfels anymore. But it is brutally cold, very windy the higher you get. And Weishaupt Fortress comes looming out of the distance. So Weishaupt Fortress, set in the Donark Mountains, cold and dry and looming like a massive shadow on the horizon. It has a massive drawbridge connecting the fortress proper to the long, battered road that you had been taking to get there. It has been probably close to a week and a half on the road, and it's getting pretty cold, and Mavaris is definitely not used to the cold. Like, she brought like 8 coats and she's wearing 6 of them. Lannan, his clan mostly roamed through Ferelden, so he's fucking used to the cold. He's fine. What about the rest of you? How are you liking the cold?
So I had this whole thing of like, Elian is much better on the road now that he has an instrument back. But that doesn't factor in the cold.
Oh no, are you like an Orlesian baby and you can't deal with
I am trying so hard to suppress it, but yes.
I totally have picked up on that and I'm like torturing you about it.
Oh.
You go, poor baby.
I guess I need to ask though first. So, I mean, obviously, like, I'm assuming the Dalish live largely in forested areas. Is it temperate or are there winters? Like, am I used to winter?
It depends on where your clan roamed. Clan Sabray, mostly was in the mountainous or the Frostback Mountains mostly until the Blight began, at which point you went a little bit further north. For most of your childhood, you were in mountainous forested areas, but then as you grew up, you went through to the Free Marches where it was a little more temperate.
Okay, I think I'm not a baby. If I grew up with it, then I'm used to it.
So you're teasing Elian mercilessly.
I am mocking you mercilessly. I keep, like, dropping, like, blankets off near you and being like, you seem a little cold, Orlesian.
Oh, I take them. I have no shame. Are you kidding me?
You're like, you think that you're being annoying, but thank you for the blanket. You are very kind. I feel like Kaz, I mean, the Saharan is a jungle, basically, so, like, do not like, not a huge fan. Also, the Q'un is like, hey, shirts? Not really. So she's like, what are layers? Why are there so many? Why is it so cold?
Oh, I feel like I'm unironically giving Cassandra blankets. Like, I'm worried about Cassandra.
And I just, like, keep looking at them and, like, and passing them to Elian or May. Like,
take them, May. Yes. Here you go, Elian. Maeverus is fine. Like, you can't see her face, but she is warm enough. And you are all standing at the very end of the drawbridge, staring at this ominous black obelisk that is Weishaupt Fortress. And Landon says, okay, so how do we want to approach this? We have a writ from the Archon. We have a writ from the Southern Divine. We've got me here, which could help a little bit. We've also got a Magister. What's our game plan?
It kind of feels like Maeverus should submit all of these official paper, like the official paperwork.
Maeverus says, I am very good at making that first good impression. That's true.
Mm.
And Lana says, and then if they give you a hard time, I can come in and inquisitorial them to death.
And like, we should probably stand back and not, you know what I mean? I like look at Cassandra.
He says, Lannan says, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe the giant Kunari and the frail little Orlesian boy should stand back, but you were related to Ren Sabray. That might get us some clout.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we don't have as much relation as you, Sabray.
Shit, I hadn't thought about that. I can tell them I'm here to see my brother's tomb. That has to carry some weight.
May's like, aren't you, in a way?
I sort of shrug. Yes.
She pats your back and says, I'm sure we'll be able to make time for it. And Lennon takes a deep breath. He's like, I hate politics. And then he heads across the drawbridge.
I follow him.
Yeah, just shrugging like, okay.
Maeverus walks with him, looking as regal as she can manage under like 8 layers of coat. They're all very nice coats, but they're like layered on top of each other. So it's, you can't make out most of her face. But you head across the bridge and up to this massive portcullis, an iron portcullis with grates. And there are 2 gray wardens on either side standing guard. And they look to all of you in surprise. Like, normally this is like the easy job, because who fucking visits Weishaupt on foot?
Right.
Fucking no one. No one what, does yeah. that.
What do they normally do?
They normally send messenger birds because it's so fucking inaccessible.
Oh.
But Maeverus approaches first and she says, oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you? And they stare at each other and then back at her in like absolute confusion.
Oh my god, this is the best.
Oh no.
And she says, well, okay, fine. If you don't want to answer, that's perfectly all right. It is a little bit nippy out here. She says, we have some business with the First Warden. And she holds out the writ of the Archon first. And the warden, like, takes it and, like, opens it in confusion. And the other one says, ma'am, I don't think you understand. You can't just come in the front door. She's like, we also have a writ from Divine Victoria. And she, like, urges that at the other one. And he takes it awkwardly and opens it up. Says, ma'am, really, I don't think this is something that we can just... She says, also, have you met Inquisitor Llewellyn? And Len is like, I'm not the Inquisitor anymore. Hello, nice to meet you. And the 2 guards are like staring at like these very official documents with these very official seals. And also fucking Inquisitor Llewellyn is here. And the 2 guards are like, give me just a second. And then they both like turn toward each other and start muttering. And Lannan is like folds his arms over his chest and he like drums his fingers on his arms.
Like, I step up a little bit behind him and I like with Kat behind me, presumably. And I just sort of fold my eyes and glare at everybody.
And the 2 wardens are like, all right, well, listen, this is all very official, but the First Warden has given us specific orders not to let anyone in. And Lannan elbows you, Sabray.
I, like, take an aggrieved step forward and look at him. And I go, I'm Ren Sabray's brother. I'm here to see his tomb.
So angry! So angry!
Yes.
The name actually catches them a little bit off guard. The warden on the left, actually, he's taken it back and he says, you're the hero for Elden's brother? And the other warden says, listen, Marcus, I don't think we should. And then the first one, Marcus, apparently, says, come on. And he looks at Sabray and then he looks at, like, he's, like, gesturing emphatically. He's like, he's his brother. He wants to see his tomb. I'm sure the first warden would make an exception. And the second warden kind of sighs and is like, all right, we can let you into the holding area, but just for a little while. We need to talk to the first warden about this personally. And Marcus, the warden Marcus, says, raise the portcullis! And with this huge groan of steel on steel, slowly this massive gate lifts up. And Lannan is like, oh, thank God. I was out of ammunition.
I look at Marcus and I'm like, thank you. I'm very excited to see my brother's grave. And then I walk inside.
Oh, no. And Lannan says, and who wouldn't believe that? So you make it into this big central courtyard. And the decorating theme of the Grey Wardens is griffins. There are griffin statues, griffins carved into the parapets, griffins emblazoned on doors, griffin stained glass windows. Like, it's a thing. Anyone who knows anything about the Grey Wardens knows that is because they used to ride griffins. They were, during the first through third Blights, they were famed for riding into battle on these massive winged beasts.
Fucking awesome!
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, griffins are extinct now. The iconography has lasted, however, and they are the official symbol of the Grey Wardens. And you are taken inside by Marcus through an inner courtyard door. And although the outside of Weishaupt Fortress is sort of grim and terrible, the inside is pretty nice. It is, obviously, it's very utilitarian, but that said, there's nothing in disrepair. Everything is functional, and some pieces, while they are a little bit spare, are elegantly designed. You come into the main hallway, which has a long blue and silver carpet that leads up to a throne with two massive wings carved into it. And it's really, really lovely here. And Marcus says, the holding area is just over here. I will try to get the first warden to come down to talk to you personally. She's been kind of, and he hesitates, she's been a little tetchy lately, but we'll try to get her down here.
Just kind of like stare at everyone like, touchy.
I think I just sort of like stared and I'm like, thanks.
He guides you into this nice little sitting area. It's got one big circular table with a bunch of chairs around it, a settee, a large bookcase, a window overlooking the mountains. And he says, wait right here. I'll go see if I can wrangle the first warden. Or at least get her attention somehow. And he leaves. And Lannan is the first to kind of plop down and says, I mean, at least we're inside. That's a step up, considering.
Are we, like, locked in here or anything like that?
The door is closed. You did not hear a lock.
I'm going to try to open the door.
You open the door, and it is unlocked. However, there are two guards stationed down the hallway, unobtrusively.
Okay. I close it back again, and I go, okay, well, we can't just walk out of here. Anybody have, like, invisibility magic or something? I'm, like, looking at Cassandra and Mayvaris.
I do not.
Are we sure that's the direction we want to take? Grey Wardens are, their favor is difficult to gain and easily broken. If we go sneaking around Weishaupt and we get caught, it's going to be difficult to win them back to our side.
I shrug, so don't get caught.
I think diplomacy would be better for right now.
I don't think he understands that. Evan.
I stare at you like you have three heads.
What's a diplomacy? Mayvary says, let's just give it a little while, and if things get really dire, we can take it from there, but I'm sure it won't come to that. Hopefully. She sighs and sits down at the table. Lannan is the first to, like, stretch out across the settee, stare up at the ceiling. This reminds me of Skyhold.
I'm going to just stare out the window, like, there sure are mountains and don't like it.
What's Skyhold?
He says, the Tarasalan Talas, the place where the sky is kept. It was the ancient elven ruin that we used as the fortress for the Inquisition after Corypheus destroyed Haven.
Were you very cranky there, too?
I prefer the outdoors, too, he says. I mean, as fortresses go, it was great, and I have a lot of good memories there, but I climbed on the roof a lot.
I, like, nod understandingly, because I hate cities. I like to be outside.
So it's a while, and then it's a while longer.
Oh, dude, by the second a while longer, Sabre is already brainstorming about how we're going to, like, turn him invisible so we can leave. Like, he's, like, bothering Cassandra. He's like, are you sure you can't turn me invisible?
Maverus is like, that is not in our purview of magic. She was trained as a Cerebus, I was trained as a healer. Neither of us know how to do invisibility.
So you're saying somebody knows how to do invisibility?
I don't know.
I know how to destroy things. That's all.
And as you are all discussing, so how many windows do we need to break to get out of here? The door opens. A gentleman walks in, dark hair slicked back, a long black beard, wearing Grey Warden armor, and he says, by my beard, Inquisitor, how are you? And Lennon sits up and he's like, Tom? And he climbs up off the bed. He's like, oh my god, you fell out of contact after the Exalted Council. He goes over and they embrace briefly. And he says, what are you doing all the way at Weishaupt? And this stranger, Tom, says, we have a lot to catch up on, Inquisitor. He's like, not the Inquisitor anymore. And he closes the door and he says, you could not have arrived at a better time. There's something strange going on at Weishaupt, and I think you might be in a good position to get to the bottom of it.
I exchange a look with the others.
I look very hopeful. I'm like, this is what I was waiting for. He breaks some heads.
He says, I need to explain a bit to our... Who are all these people? And it's like, oh, God. And he starts the round of introductions. Mayferis Talani, a Magister of the Imperium. Charmed, I'm sure. This is Elian Bayard. He's Orlesian. And he's like, Valina just kind of leaves that off because he doesn't know much else about you.
I like the equivalent of that as being like, hello, this is my friend Roger. He's French.
Yep, exactly. Yep, that's it.
This humble bard is at your service, and I do a bow.
This is Cassandra. You know, three guesses where she comes from.
I incline my head and say nothing.
And this is actually, this is Sabre from Clan Sabre. And the gentleman, Tom, seems to know that name immediately. He says, my goodness, things here are in a more precarious situation than normal. He says, listen, after the battle at Adamant Fortress with the Inquisition... The Grey Wardens, they've begun something like a civil war. The Inquisitor, and he gestures to Lennon, is like, not the Inquisitor anymore. He's like, elected to keep the Grey Wardens in the south of Thedas. It is only by his good word that they remained in Orlais and in Ferelden. But the Wardens in the north, in Weishaupt, sort of resented his... act of charity. They assumed that they had the right to be anywhere in Thedas, and long story short, there are now two very distinct factions of the Grey Wardens that are at each other's throats. He says, the ones in the south of Thedas believe that the Order needs to reform, that they need to come out of the shadows and become public servants in earnest, while the Wardens in the north, he says, sounding a little bit exhausted, think that we should keep with the old ways, keep with the secrets, keep with the quiet method of the past, which in fairness has ended five blights. And he says, but something is wrong with the First Warden. I've been here for several months now trying to get to the bottom of it. The First Warden, Anira Shaveen, I've heard legends about her prowess in battle against Darkspot, but she's been behaving very strangely. And I grant I haven't known her that long, but she has been ignoring the conflict within the Grey Wardens instead of dealing with it. She has been refusing all outside contact from Weishaupt, including with monarchs. She's been refusing word from the King of Ferelden, from the Empress of Orlais. She's been shut up here, and all she's been doing is bringing more and more Warden mages into the keep.
That definitely gets, like, Cassandra's attention. Like, mages. Interesting.
He says... She has been completely ignoring the civil war, and instead she's been shut up in her office at almost all hours of the day. And I've been looking around, and there's been a lot of strange activity in the palace lately, particularly around the hero's rest in the cellar.
What kind of strange activity?
He folds his arms over his chest and he says, mages coming in and out at all hours of the day. Sometimes I see them come up when they have fresh blood on their hands, and... The hero's rest, it's a crypt. The youngest body in there is 15 years old. Where's the fresh blood coming from?
Oh god, this is where my brother is buried, isn't it?
It sounds like a place where he might be buried, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm like turning around the rest of you and I'm just like, goddamn politics.
Ladin has that weary expression of, yeah, goddamn politics.
Well, what can we do to help?
He says, as outsiders, you might be in a unique position to get the ball rolling. He says, if the First Warden won't listen to you, Inquisitor, not the Inquisitor anymore, I don't know who she'll listen to. If you can work the soft side of the politics, then it's like, maybe you can keep everyone's attention long enough to have them, and he gestures to the rest of your party, get down to the Hero's Rest and start looking around. They've forbidden any non-senior wardens, including me, from going down there.
I'm nodding fervently. Oh man, this is so exciting. We get to go break into...
Oh god.
Maetheris says, what about Hawk? Have you heard anything about Hawk?
Oh shit.
And Tom stares at her in confusion. He says, I'm afraid not, my lady. Is he supposed to be here?
Fenris certainly thought so.
He says, the official story that I heard from the First Warden was that he left many months ago.
That sounds suspicious.
And never made it back to Fenris.
Lana says, all right, well, I guess you're right. We need to get the ball rolling on this. There's clearly something going on in Weishaupt. We need to find Hawk. We need to figure out what's going on in the Hero's Rest. And hopefully end this peacefully, if at all possible.
Staring directly at Sabray.
I'm like looking innocently at the ceiling, like, I don't know why you're looking at me.
Do you have any last minute questions for Tom Rainier, Warden Tom Rainier, before you head out?
I guess how heavily guarded is the basement? I wonder if we can get in by just saying that I'm here to see my brother's tomb.
I kind of doubt it. It might work. The wardens here, they all remember your brother's sacrifice very well. But still, Shaveen has a very tight grip on them.
Where was Levon Hawk last seen?
He shrugs and he says, he was allegedly gone by the time I got to Weishaupt. I haven't seen him at all.
Okay. So we're going to have to put Cat on that.
Cat barks.
Directions?
The hero's crypt, just go down as much as possible. It's the lowest level in Weishaupt Fortress.
Makes sense for a crypt.
He says, I'll try to distract the guards that are posted outside this room. He says, maybe we can rustle up a few more, get them out of your hair by saying that the Inquisitor, not the Inquisitor anymore, needs a full complement of guards to go with him to meet the First Warden. Lane's like, ah, yeah, surrounded by possibly corrupted Grey Wardens. Cool. I remember this feeling.
Oh, this is gonna be fun. I'm like rubbing my hands together.
Oh, Elian has a really bad feeling about this.
Tom turns to the Inquisitor, or turns to Lannan, and he says, well, like old times, Inquisitor, I'm not the Inquisitor anymore, he says, but yes, like old times.
Come back safe, Inquisitor.
Hey friends, Tessa here. If you're desperate to hear the next episode, chances are good that you can by joining our Discord server. We post links to all episodes in pre-release, and you can even chat with us and listen live as we record. Join us by going to bit.ly/CFCDiscord. For more information on the show, character biographies, and links to social media, head to our website, critfail.club or critfailclub.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Crit Fail Club does not advertise at all, so if you like what you hear, tell a friend who might also like it, make a post on social media about it, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Full episodes are available on our YouTube channel, bit.ly/CFCchannel, or wherever you get your podcasts.